As I was thinking of tonight's meeting, and we are so glad to see all who have come, my mind and heart was drawn to the 14th verse of John chapter 1, where it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's a mighty, mighty statement, isn't it? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christmas time is usually a very special time of the year. Not everyone loves Christmas, I have to admit that, or are excited about it. But I confess, for me, it's a very special time. It's a family time. It's always a nice thing to get together as families and friends at this seasonal time of the year. It's a feasting time. If you were present last evening, you would just see how the young people got tore in to the meal that was provided. And some of them, not having one sweet or two, but if they were to confess their sin of eating too much, they had three sweets last night. I know of at least one person that had three. It's a feasting time. It's a giving time. The Savior said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And there is a pleasure, there is a joy in extending your hand to other people in a gracious fashion and giving gifts to others. It's a shopping time. Now, the women love shopping. I'm not too sure about the men, but it has to be done. And it's a happy time in general. And for us as a congregation, it's a church time. And there's many activities associated with December, this time of the year. And the carol singers have been out. They'll be going out again on a number of occasions. And we have sung together hymns that are associated with the coming of Christ, the incarnation. And there'll be other things taking place, special Sunday night meetings over the next number of Lord's days. I know there's a downside, it's sometimes an expensive time, but generally Christmas for most people brings a feel-good factor into play. It's also a celebration time, a season to remember, especially the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world. And often we read those passages of Scripture, Scriptures that have been read tonight by those who have taken part and will be read over the next few weeks. Those things are especially upon our minds. And we sing the carols that the choirs have been singing tonight, reminding us of this same truth. We pause to remember. And we like oftentimes to preach upon something that is relevant. And that's what I want to do tonight. The Apostle John, in the gospel that bears his name, penned by divine inspiration, teaches some great doctrines about God. Good, old-fashioned, straightforward theology. And in this opening chapter, he writes about some of the fundamental truths concerning Christ that should never be forgotten. The opening verses speaks about his eternality. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. We believe that with all of our hearts. He was there in the beginning. He never had a beginning. We'll come to see something of that later. We have his deity expressed also, that Jesus Christ is God. We'll come to see that. We have his authority in creation, speaking the world into existence, because verse 3 of John chapter 1 reminds us that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. And also his authority in the new creation to give life and salvation to sinners. Verse 12 says, "As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And in our text of Scripture tonight, his humanity is expressed. Verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Here indeed is Emmanuel, God with us, the eternal Word, who coexisted with the Father, equal in power and glory, the Creator of all things, the promised Savior, becomes man, and he dwells amongst mankind. I cannot conceive a greater happening in all the annals of history. Nothing could be deemed more glorious or miraculous than what John, the beloved disciple, is expressing here. The Word being made flesh. God becoming man. Deity joining with humanity. Christ coming into the world as the God-man. When God becomes man, leaves the heights of glory, humbles himself to take a human body so that he might live among men on earth, there must be some mighty purpose in view. And there was. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become the sons of God through the new birth and by adoption. And just for a little time, I want to think about this verse of Scripture that expresses the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, or became flesh, and dwelt among us. And there's three things I want to draw your attention to. First of all, the deity of Jesus Christ. I believe it's here in the title that is ascribed to him, the Word. The title here is one that is used almost exclusively by the Apostle John in his writings to refer to the third person of the Blessed Trinity. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life." There we have the title there, the Word of life. The same is seen there in chapter 5 of 1 John and verse 7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." The same is observed in Revelation chapter 19. John is the author of this book. And verse 13, it says, "He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Now, who is the Word of God? Well, tonight in our Bible reading that was read for us earlier in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1, we are told who the Word of God is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was there in the beginning, pointing to his eternal existence. He was there before all time. Creation was from the beginning. Man was from the beginning. All created life was from the beginning. The sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavenly host was from the beginning. All that we see and know around us was from the beginning. But the Word was in the beginning, already existing in the great eternity of God. Eternity is usually expressed as being before the foundation of the world. The eternity of God, for example, is declared in this way by the writer of Psalm 90, Moses, in Psalm 90 and verse 2, tells us, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." The Word had a being before the world had a beginning. He was in the beginning. He never began. He was always there, and furthermore, he coexisted with his Father because the Word was with God. The Word was with God. But the Word was not only with God. I want you to note it carefully. It says the Word was God. And that's the truth that I want you to see tonight. I want you to grasp it. I want you to understand it. As far as it lies within us, beyond all shadow of a doubt, especially in this age when the deity of Jesus Christ is denied and repudiated by the many cults and false religions of the world, I want to proclaim, and to proclaim it loudly in the words of Holy Scripture, the Word was God. When we invite you to come to Jesus Christ for salvation, that you might know his redemptive work in your life and be saved,
We are inviting you to God, God who is the Saviour of men.
With respect to his being, he is a distinct person from the Father, for he was with God. But regarding his essence, he's the same essence as the Father, for he was God. Very God, a very God, as we like to refer to it. And this is what Paul spoke about when he wrote to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, when he said that he is the express image of his person, the very same essence as God. Let me say it again, Jesus Christ is God. When we contemplate the incarnation, the babe in the womb of Mary, the babe lying in the manger of Bethlehem, the infant child in the arms of old Simeon, the little toddler in the house where the wise men came to worship, we are speaking about God, the eternal, omnipotent, everlasting, sovereign God. That's expressed in this text. He's the Word, and the Word was God. Not only do we have his deity here, but we have his humanity. For it says that the Word was made flesh. Here's the incarnation. Can we take it in? Can we understand this tonight? Can we, with our human minds, appreciate what we're told? Well, in reality, no. It's beyond our human comprehension that this eternal God should become mortal man or take unto himself the body of a human being and be made in the likeness of you and I tonight. We just can't take it in with these finite, feeble, frail human minds of ours. But by faith, we lay hold of this truth. We believe it with all our hearts that God became man. He was made flesh. Listen to what we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ took to himself a human body in order to be the Savior of men. He shared in our humanity. He subjected himself to the miseries and the calamities of mortal flesh. Our Lord knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to thirst. He knew what it was to shed tears. He knew what it was to feel pain and to suffer. He knew what it was to shed blood and to die. Flesh speaks of weakness. And Jesus, who is the all-powerful God, became man. And as a man, he was crucified, the scripture tells us, through weakness. Flesh also speaks of mortality and death. And Christ was put to death in the flesh. Flesh also speaks of being tainted with sin. And Christ, though perfectly holy and pure of himself, he appeared in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the Bible says that he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We ought to stand back in amazement and in awe when we read such a verse of scripture as this: the Word was made flesh. The eternal Word became human flesh. What humiliation. And why did he do it? Why did he become thus? Why did he clothe himself with flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone? So that he might have a body in which he would die, in which he would suffer for sin, in which he would bear our guilt and our shame. Peter tells us that it was in this human body that he carried our sin. In other words, he carried the punishment of our sin. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. The deity of Jesus Christ, he's God. He's the Word. The Word was God. The humanity of Jesus Christ, he was made flesh. He became like you and I. But I want you to notice, thirdly, his identity. For it says that he dwelt among us. Having taken upon himself the body of a man, he put himself into the place and the condition of other men. The Word might have been made flesh and dwelt among angels, but that would not do. He must reside in the same old world with man. Sinful man, fallen man, depraved man, guilty man. Man who rebelled against his Maker and resisted daily the strivings of the Holy Spirit. Man who followed his own pernicious ways. Such a holy God, leaving such a holy environment, having dwelt with such holy creatures, and of course, being with his Father from all eternity, his Father's side, to leave such a place and to come in to this old world, we have to say that that was a mighty condescension. We are nothing more than worms of the earth. You may not think yourself to be such tonight, but the Bible sees mankind as worms. I am a worm and an Oma. Compared to God and his greatness and the infiniteness of his person, we're nothing more than worms, and Jesus came to dwell with mere worms of this earth. And what can we say about the generation of vipers that he walked among? The religious people of his day, especially the hierarchy. When we look at the upper world and compare it to this lower world, there is no comparison whatsoever. He dwelt among the Jews who derided him and scorned him. Came unto his own. His own received him not. He dwelt among the Gentile world, and they too mocked him and harassed him. We think of especially the end of his ministry when he was brought before Pontius Pilate. We think of all that the soldiers did to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He who was God became man to dwell among men, and for men to do to him what they did. What an awful thing. He was in the world, but the world didn't know him. Isn't that what John tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 10? It was read tonight. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. How sad. He was God. He was the eternal Word, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the light of men, the one who was full of grace and truth, indeed the only Savior, but the world knew him not. Dwelling among men, they saw him. The Lord Jesus Christ was seen for 3.5 years in his ministry. Dwelling among men, they heard him. We think of all the marvelous words that are recorded in the scriptures, the sermons that he preached, the conversations that he entered into, and much more besides that which is recorded in the inspired word. They heard him every day as he preached the word. And dwelling among men, they witnessed his miracles. They saw the mighty deeds that he performed, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, power to those limbs that were paralyzed, the raising of the dead, all these mighty miracles, it was witnessed. They observed his kindness. They watched his care and compassion and forgiveness. And yet, my friends, he was not known. He was not known. And he's still not known or unknown by the majority. The greater proportion of the world's population still reject him. And still reject his word and his salvation. What about you in this meeting tonight? You've come. We're very glad that you've come to this meeting. We're very glad that you're sitting in the pews tonight and you've listened to the choirs as they have sung, and David as he has ministered in song, the word of God as it has been read in this house tonight. What about you living in gospel preaching Ulster? You've heard about the coming of Christ into the world. We celebrate his incarnation, especially at this time of the year, thinking about God becoming man. You have listened to many sermons over the years. Dozens of sermons. Maybe for some hundreds of sermons. And you've been brought near to Christ. Brought near to his kingdom. Maybe you've been almost persuaded to become a Christian. Almost there. You can look back upon nights when you've sat in gospel meetings. Or maybe in your own home. And the Spirit of God has been working in your heart. And you've almost taken that step to become a child of God. But you didn't. And still tonight you are resisting him. You are refusing him. You are rejecting him. What an awful eternity it will be for the Christ rejecter. Because my friend, as you reject Christ, you're rejecting God. For Jesus Christ is God, manifested in human flesh. Do not turn away from him again tonight. Do not shun the gospel message. Do not ignore the entreaties of his word. Do not neglect so great salvation. Do not slight his grace and spurn his call. No, I say, come to him. Receive him. Call upon him. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And did so to be the Redeemer. To rescue you from sin. To deliver you from hell. And the Bible says to you tonight, seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And as you were taken up with the festivities of this time of the year, and there's many things going on in your life as you think of Christmas and all that it means in so many ways and so many aspects of life, do not forget the real meaning of what Christmas is about. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he did that he might be our Savior. Do you know the Savior tonight? Do you know the one who is the Word, the eternal Word? Do you know him? And if you say in the honesty of your heart, no, preacher, I don't know this Jesus as my Redeemer, it's our earnest prayer that tonight you'll take that step of faith, that you'll come to Christ and venture all upon his atoning sacrifice and know your sins forgiven.